Unbecoming of Age, the podcast. A cautionary tale. Listen to what they say, then do the opposite. Your hosts, Colin Flynn and John M. Craig.
Two knuckleheads, one in Iowa, the other one in New Jersey. I'm Colin Flynn, and from New Jersey, my co-host, Mr. John Michael Craig.
That's right. What's up, Colin?
Yeah, just chilling on the weekend, Sunday night. What's happening with you?
Just sitting in the pool house, just sitting, chilling, taking it all in, getting used to my new environment, my new surroundings.
How's that going?
It's going. It's all right. It's not bad. Today's been a good day. It's been a tough weekend, though. Started out crazy. Like, I don't know if you heard in the Northeast, or at least New York, New Jersey, we had a nor'easter.
Okay, what exactly Friday. Is it? What is a nor'easter for those of us that don't really understand?
I don't know. It's some sort of weather pattern thing that happens. It's basically cold, windy, and you get a lot of wintry mix. Mm-hmm. We don't know. We can't call it rain. We can't call it snow. We can't call it sleet. We can't call it hail. It's all of those at any given moment.
Okay.
And, you know, my car was in the shop over, I don't know when I brought it in, on Thursday. And I was very particular to my mechanic. I said, well, you know, like, just let me know. I had an estimate of about $550 for a bunch of things. Brake pads, rear brake pads, caliper, front swing arm, all the labor, whatever. There was a bunch of stuff. And a tail light, but I bought the replacement tail light on eBay for about $125 instead of like whatever the $150 that they quoted me. And they're usually good about finding stuff on eBay, but I said, let me just buy it directly and then, you know, let them just do the work. And they're good. I like them. But so when I dropped the car off, I said, just please tell me how much it's going to cost, because I, you know, it might be too much. Money's tight right now. I don't like getting into the whole thing, but I don't mind. I'm pretty transparent about it. You know, I said, if you can do cash, you know, if I could pay cash and get take a little off on tax or whatever, that'd be helpful, because I'm using a debit card anyway, because I don't use credit. I can't use credit cards. They won't let me. there's no room on them. And I'm way past. Like, I get a phone call. I probably get 3 phone calls a day from toll-free numbers. It's always the same, you know. So I go into the place. They never call me. End of the day on Thursday, I call them. And one of the guy that owns the place, his wife answered the phone. Said, they'll call you right back. Didn't hear from him. Call him the next morning. Or I get a call. It's ready. And it's like, yeah, it's $750. Like, I look at my account. It's like, I got $700 in my account. I'm like, fuck. And like, there's a limit how much I can take out. It's a whole thing. I'm like, oh my god. So I rode my bike in the rain to 1 mile into town to an ATM. I'm like, getting the ATM, taking money out, get over there. My mechanic's like, give me whatever you have. I think it was like $815 with tax.
Wow.
I gave him $650.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, and he was genuine, give me whatever you have. I mean, I'm going to go back and give him another $100 to bring it to like an even $750-ish, I think, when I get some money. So then I'm like, I got to make money. I got to fucking make money. So I had already signed up for an Amazon Flex delivery thing, you know, which is, I don't know if you know what that is. I talked to you about it a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. So you're delivering packages for Amazon.
That's basically it. You're either delivering packages for Amazon or Amazon Fresh.
Okay.
So I had a 3-hour shift. I show up to the warehouse early, 4:45 to 7:45, 3-hour. I don't know what I'm going to get. You don't know until you get there. You know, I don't pull into the driveway to drive into the warehouse. I actually just walked up to it because I didn't want to drive in too early. I was there like, I'd say about half an hour early. One of the supervisors says, yeah, no wrong problem. Yes, come on in. I come in. You can't sign in and get your car loaded up until 15 minutes before your shift. If you show up, you know, you have to be there 5 minutes before your shift or you lose it. but you can't sign in any earlier than 15 minutes. So I get in there, 16 packages, they're labeled. They've got all these, like, if you've ever gotten a package from Amazon, they've got all these, like, barcodes and mm-hmm. numbers, and you're like, I don't know, what's this? Pretty soon I'm going to learn what all of that shit means. And there was it'll say on a package one, and then one in parentheses. So that's like package one, and it's the first delivery. But the app doesn't match up with the delivery. So I load the thing in. I'm trying to be efficient about how to load, like which packages. I'm looking at like the zip codes and the towns. I'm like, okay, let me put all of these together in the same town. And then the app did not put me. It started me in one town, and then it wasn't the first package. It took me 4 hours to do the whole fucking thing. It was snowing, raining. It was bad. You couldn't see addresses because the snow was covering. And in these really nice neighborhoods, they've mm-hmm. got this like hanging number on their mailbox. Well, that was covered in snow. Like, this sucks. You know, I got it done. It was fine. So then after that, I turned on Uber and Lyft, and I just started driving Uber. It was all Uber. I think I had like 10 passengers. Last passenger I pick her up in Jersey City, and she's gonna go to United States Postal Service job at like midnight. Overnight shift, international sorting facility. Woman makes me wait a few minutes. No big deal. On the way there, we get into the entrance. It's blocked off by a trailer, a huge trailer. I guess when it rains, it gets flooded somewhere. It's a huge building. It's another mile and a half, 2 miles to get to the other side of the building to have to go back out to the road. So I'm driving on Tonnelly Avenue, Route 1 North, truck lanes. I'm in the right lane, and I hear, boom, twice. Giant pothole filled with water. Giant. I pull over, and I had to get off the next exit. Well, you know how they have those triangles like that separate the two-lane road from like the exit? I pulled into the middle of that triangle behind another guy. He had a blowout, same exact spot. Guy pulls up behind me. He has a blowout. The guy in front of me was an Uber driver, had a passenger, but now his passenger's gone, don't know where that passenger went. Guy behind me, while I'm changing the tire, he was on his way to help someone else change a tire.
Oh my God.
Guy in front of me said that there were two other people that had flat tires. I was pretty sure that a tow truck got one flat tire, but you know those some of those big trucks have like fucking double wheels and like the I don't know what recourse I have. Anyway, I changed the tire, rear passenger. Took me way longer than it should have. The floor jack wouldn't fit under. I couldn't get it to go lower. I was so happy I had it in there. Fuck, I got it to use like the one that comes with the Lincoln. And that one, it folds over sometimes. It's so shitty. Mm-hmm. Change the tire, back in the car, and then I drive around. Front, pat, both tires. I just fucking drove her. At this point, I'm like, I was like, this is so fucking bad. Got a tow truck driver. That happened at around midnight. I got home at 4 o'clock in the morning. I was just beside myself. I'm like, whatever money I made that day, gone. Forget it. I have AAA, no big deal. So I drop it off at a Mavis discount. I just bought the tires 2 weeks ago. All right, correction. John Craig, 46 years old. His mom bought him the tires. And yeah, that's right. She had to come with me.
Plot thickens.
Yeah. So brand new tires. But I did get the $20 per tire road hazard on the tires. I'm going to say, if you drive a lot and you drive in an area like New York, New Jersey, where the roads are shit, mm-hmm. get the run flat tires. Spend the extra money for the run flat. Forget road. Still get the road hazard, but run flat. So dropped them off at Mavis. At like 3 o'clock in the morning, I ended up walking home. I'm like, I don't even know how much money. Like, I'm behind the eight ball. I'm just going to fucking walk. I don't care that it's cold. I don't care that I don't have gloves. I'm just going to take it slow and walk. What difference does it make? And I don't know how, but I woke up at like 7:45 in the morning, no alarm, because the Mavis opens at 8. I just called them up. Yeah, we're really busy. Got in the car, drove down there, dropped off my keys. Guy calls me toward the end of the day. He's like, yeah, your one tire, definitely we can fix the one tire, and the other one's replaceable, won't cost anything, but cost you to rotate and balance the tires. but these two rims are not good. He's like, one definitely has to be replaced. The other one might have to, we might be able to fix it, but the guy that would normally do that isn't here. And find that on Monday. And he gives me a quote for the rim, like 180. I'm like, you gotta be fucking kidding. So that was Friday night. It was just one of those things where it's like, I don't even know. And then a friend of mine, when I told him about it, he said, I don't know anyone who gets as many flat tires as you do. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, that may be true. But he said it in a way that was kind of fucked up. And it was like, I'm like, you know what? I drive a lot. The roads are shit. It's part, like, what, the guy in front of me, the guy behind me? Like, it's not the first time they get a flat tire. Come on, give me a break, you know? I was at my friend's, the same friend that said this. He owns property, and he had to have, like, a construction fence around the property. He called me up this morning. Hey, John, what are you doing? I need help with the fences. You know, you put up those construction fences with, like, the mesh fabric. Most towns, you know, force you to do that.
Yeah, right.
Right, for safety, you know? Yeah. So, well, on the same day, one of them caught, you know, a couple of them caught wind, like a sail, came down, and he had to put them back up again. And be like, hey, Ray, you know, Ray, you know, I don't know anyone that has as many problems as you do with all the real estate. It's just part of the deal, you know? So just a shitty fucking day, and I don't know. Like, I'm not giving up, but I'm like, when, yeah, I don't know.
Catch a break. You want to catch a fucking break, it sounds like.
You know, I don't know. You know, my friend, the guy, Matthew, my friend, the one in Washington, D.C., he raided us. He knows me from Periscope. Nice guy. Texts me every now and again. I think the day before that, on Thursday, I don't know, I was in a group message chat with him. And then out of the blue, he texted me while also messaging me in the Instagram direct message chat. He's like, what's your Venmo? I'm like, what do you mean, what's my Venmo? I'm not giving you my Venmo. You know, that's it. He kept harassing me, like, give me, come, you moved into the pool house, whatever. You helped me when I went through when I got, you know, separated, blah, blah, blah. Like, okay, sure, great. No, you're not sending me money. Stop. Finally, I just relented before knowing. And he sent me, you know, it's like a housewarming. And he's like, you know, spend it on a H&R Block. Or it was like H&R Block, TurboTax, or an IPA beer, preferably taxes.
Like, he wants you to go in and do your taxes.
He wanted me to take care of my taxes. You're right. I should take care of my taxes. However, that $50 got to go. This has so many other places to go before it goes to taxes right now.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, when that thing happened, I'm like, I'm really glad he gave me that money, sent me that money. My point is let's start a Patreon, okay, for us. Because it'll all go back into the show.
It
no
won't
problem.
Be for the podcast. But, it'll be for tires. But
it'll be just like, we've never seen a dime. Well, it's the true, John yeah. Craig Fund. Yes, yeah, so I just feel beat up, and I don't want to talk to my parents about it, because like when I talked to my ex-wife today, and I was telling her about stuff, and she's like, "How much money do you owe?" I'm not going to say it here, not just yet. I'm not saying this for any other reason than I'm just sharing shit, and I don't give a fuck. But and it's so when I gave her the number, she just went like, "Oh my God." She covered her mouth and laughed.
Really?
Yeah, she wasn't laughing at me. She was just in shock.
She's
like, yeah. How did you do that? I'm like, I don't know. What, I'm going to sit across from my dad, and he's going to ask. He's like, you got to get a government job. Okay, I'm going to get a job. But like, he's just going to have a fucking heart attack or an ulcer or something. He's not going to be happy, and he's not going to be able to tell me anything. I just need to work as much as possible. And part of the way I do that is with my car. And then fuck yeah. You, Jersey City Road and weather. But I have no control over the weather, you know? I had to go the way I had to go.
Where's the car now?
My car is at Mavis Discount Tire.
And it still needs the wheels and rims and tires and everything? Or
Yeah.
Okay.
But I just came into money today.
Oh, so you came into the money, and
yeah,
was
I did.
It legally? Was this something you did legally to get the money?
Yeah, it was. I don't. So normally, my ex-wife and I, take one kid for tax write-offs.
Right.
She takes one. I take one. We got two.
Sure.
I haven't done my taxes. So
you gave her both.
So I didn't give her both. She just decided to take both.
Well, yeah, if you're not claiming one, you know, she's actually somebody. Oh,
No. Yeah. I don't remember the exact reason why she did. Like, I don't know. It was like almost like she had foresight or something. And then she said, and the number was very reasonable. I'll tell you after we're done. And I don't know, today when I was talking about all this stuff, she's like, oh, I can write you a check today. Really?
Okay. Yeah.
You know, so now the whole thing is like, tomorrow I should not go for a $5 coffee. I should not go to the vegan restaurant and eat and pretend like everything. Take a, hey, let me check my Apple Watch. What time is it? I think it's about time to spend some money. Go on a date. None of that. So I just got to change behaviors, but
yeah, that helps.
And I have a $1,200 check coming from the lawyer photos that I took in December. It's sometime. I don't know when that's coming.
Why are
it's
they not... waiting? What's their?
It was my fault. It was my fault because I didn't send them an invoice right away, and then I finally did, and then he didn't respond to it right away, and. You know, the guy that brought me in who owns the company. And I don't know. Then we'll see. And I sent a follow-up email saying, hey, if you didn't send out that check, can you please send it to this address? Because I moved. I didn't get into the moving. I didn't get into any of that.
Right.
You know. And that's that. And then he forwarded the email to someone else, and that someone else didn't respond. So, I don't know.
So
I could drive there, but yeah.
Starting tomorrow, you're back on the road? Is that what you're saying?
Mm-mm. No, okay. I can't be back on the road tomorrow. The only thing is my ex-wife, she works full-time in Manhattan. She leaves sometime between 5 and 7 a.m., and she usually doesn't get back until 6 at the earliest, usually 8 at the latest. So while the kids are in school and she's at work, I could use her car. I can't use it for Uber and Lyft and wouldn't want to. But for delivering Amazon packages, what's the big deal?
Right. So I she just takes the train in or something?
She takes a bus. She takes a bus. So.
Okay.
So, you know, so I'm going to figure out. She said okay to that. I said, yeah, I'll pay for gas, of course. Tolls and all that. So we'll see. I don't know. I don't have it figured out. No, but I do have some photo and video editing work to do, so I can do that instead.
Okay, well, it sounds like a tangled web.
Yes, it is. It's good stuff. Anyway, but I'm fine. I'm good, man. I'm still getting settled here in the pool house, but I think in time, it's fine. The 6 months are going to roll up on me quickly, so I want to be ready for that. You know, I need to be ready for this next move. But right now, I am here, and I really do like being close to the kids. It really changes things. I'm more present with my fucking stupid cats because cats are assholes, but so am I. So it's a nice match, and got a 70-inch TV. You know, it's nice.
Yeah, that's a big ass TV, and. Yeah. So, the kids, you're talking about being close to the kids. I am, you know, right here in the same house with the kids. I gotta tell you that they're just at that age where just acting like just assholes. I don't know, just... tonight was... We had not that there was a squabble or a fight, but I've got one that's saying, okay, Rachel went over to a little Oscar get-together thing that I decided not to go to. I have watched some of the Oscars tonight, and it was good. I enjoyed it. But anyway, so she was off. She, you know, I was going to feed the kids. One was so starving that she, you know, in her mind's eye, that she was going to eat whatever she could find out of the refrigerator right that second. You know, so she was had the refrigerator open, and she was grabbing frozen cinnamon toast sticks. She was going to have those, and this is going on while I'm cooking. I have food on the stove. I'm making her special grilled cheese sandwich out of the right kind of cheese with Asiago bread that she likes.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, trying to go through the special motion. And she's like, I don't want to eat that. I just want to eat this. I want to eat right now. And she's like going for that. And I'm like, I take the plate out of her hand that she had. Just, you know, no big drama. I just take the plate, walk the plate over, put it back in the cupboard. You're going to eat this. Trying to keep it low key. She's fine. She takes off, heading out. She's upstairs. Her sister comes up from downstairs. She doesn't feel good right now. She's got kind of an asthma issue thing, and it's kind of going on. So you got to give her even more room. But she's like, oh, I already ate. I'm like, you already ate? When'd you eat? And she snuck up at some point during the last 45 minutes when I was not in the room and raided whatever she could. She probably had French toast sticks too or something. I don't know. But she sneak eaten. So I'd made chili actually yesterday, and Tori likes, she's a big fan of chili. And then I know Zoe wasn't going to eat that, but I had the grilled cheese and made specially for both of them, all that stuff. And neither one of them now were going to eat grilled cheese. And they were like acting like I was the biggest fucking jerk asshole in the world for insisting that they did, you know, you got to take this. And Tori went downstairs back to her cave, her little spot where she likes to watch TV. And she ate part of it. She ate some of the kind of the grilled cheese. She ate parts of that. But Zoe was like, I yelled at her to come down and eat probably like four or five times. And she was just ignoring me. And then finally I shut the Wi-Fi off. And so if you shut the Wi-Fi off, it takes them a little while, but, you know, all of a sudden they realize, wait a minute, Snapchat's not working. I got to come downstairs and figure out what's going on with the Wi-Fi. So, that was, it's just one of those things where I look at them and think, do I really want to go on vacation with these two? Yeah.
Aren't they better on vacation, though?
Usually. Well, the way it works generally is, and this is, you know, it's part of the age, just the age that they are, and I'm not saying that they're any different than any other kid, but they're super nice when they want or need something. and then when they're, you know, out of that element, then they turn into nasty little, you know, creatures.
Kylie, Cameron seems to be complacent. And Kylie's just, you know, she puts out a big smile. Dad, can you give me money? Dad, can my friends come over to the pool house? Mom's not answering. I'm like, it's really not my pool house, and I want to make sure your mom's cool with it. And then her mom's like, I was standing right there. It's like with Andrea, and she said, cool, yeah. And she's like, thank you so much, Dad. Thank you. And we'll be so something about respect, she said. I don't remember exactly how she phrased it. But I'm like, okay, but when you come here, will you please have that respect continue and know the difference between when I'm joking and when it's time to, like, stop? Like, she'll put on a little show for her friends and be a little too snarky.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. And it drives me insane, especially after I've said yes to her two friends that come over, and the combination of the three of them is so challenging because they have these kind of all their, and then me in the mix because I'm really sarcastic. I joke sarcastic and joke a lot around a lot. It's just like, and these girls will give it back and then they can't take it. And I realize I'm the adult, I'm the grown up. So it's like, I've got to downshift a little bit. I want her to have fun though. You know, I want her to have a good time, and she's done with her homework. She cleaned up her room and organized and like got rid of a bunch of stuff. So, but at the same time, there were a few moments where it was nothing where I would lose my mind over, but it'd be like, okay, no, stop. Like, just stop and listen to me. And then having to, like, kind of push her friend out of the way. No. Please don't talk to me right now. I'm talking to, like, I'm trying to help them.
Right.
It's just like, it's just fucking stop. And I have to be careful not to curse as much as I curse when her friends are around. Because I don't know what it's like in their houses, you know?
You know what their house is fucking like?
You,
what the fuck's your house like, kid? Yeah. All of that. It's just, and I remember being that way. I thought when I was 14, 15, you know, I thought I was the smartest fucking person in the world. And was just convinced, why, how in the hell did, you know, I get such idiotic parents? And now when it's, you see it from the other side. And I remember at some point, I don't know how old I was, probably in my 20s at some point, and I went, duh, fuck, I was an idiot, and I don't know shit. You know, you have that epiphany at some point, and you wish when you're on this other side of it that maybe that would happen a little bit sooner, but so far that hasn't happened at all, so yeah. I got to tell you, it's just, God, tonight was just like, it was driving me a little nuts. So I disappeared. I went in to watch the Oscars for a while.
Do you roll with it fairly well?
Yes and no. I think, tonight was fine. Like I said, I was keeping it low key. And I just have to keep reminding myself, you know, it's you're talking to kids, and even if they do go, you know, like you said, they go over that line, and I was totally with you when you were saying that when they get friends over, then they try shit that they wouldn't try if you were there. In a one-on-one situation, they'll say things and they'll act a snotty way, try to go over the line just to be, you know, show off for their friends is really what it comes down to. And I've had that happen. So, and that, you know, you really, and while their friends are there, you know, you have to be a lot more,
grown up.
Well, there's the grown up part, but then there's also the part with not letting that slide, which finding a great way to do that. But, you know, I remember the things, you know, back in the day when, that parents would say to kids, you know, that would make you go, well, geez, I better shut up. You know, when you had, you know, I remember this friend of mine's dad saying, you know, you'll be picking your teeth out of your asshole, you know, stuff like that, where, you know, they're threatening violence. Not that it ever really happened, but you kind of had this feeling that, you know, that if you ever acted that way, you know, there was something that was going to happen to you that was not good. Sort of, I guess I never really was in fear of anything like that. But I also knew, I think I was a lot more respectful. But there's overall kids get away with, you know, they get away with a lot at school that wouldn't have happened years ago. There's a whole different attitude. So I think for them, it's hard to know where the line is, how much they can get away with, what they can say, what they can't say.
Right.
There's just that age thing where they're just being a jerk.
Well, I think it's the age thing, and I think it was similar. I mean, when I was growing up, I think that a big change is the cultural side of things in terms of where we are. But like, you know, even when I was younger and when you were younger, like not everybody dressed up all the time. You didn't wear a suit and tie to go to a baseball game,
right? No.
And that shifted and changed, and now, you know, I think with social media, the way you can reach out to the world, everything has changed because children have access to so much more. Like, you know, kids say the darndest things. Well, now when kids say the darndest things at like 7 or 5, they may have seen it on TV or on YouTube or somewhere else. You know what I mean? Like, it's not just this like organic, like, oh, from the mouth of babes, right? It's like, it's not as clever or as fascinating as it once was, because that is seeping in from every direction these days.
Yeah, and if you're in public for any length of time, something always happens where you hear an adult, you know, adults, you know, that are saying stupid things or swearing and whatever. And there was a time, not probably that long ago, where that was something that you even... I'm trying to think of exactly when that switched, when all of a sudden people just started letting, you know, F-bombs fly in public and not worrying about it. I don't know, maybe, has it been more than 10 years? Maybe somewhere in that range. I don't know, where it seemed to me at the culturally things switched at some point. And so when they hear that, you know, coming out of adults when they're just walking around, and then they think, okay, that's the way it is. And that maybe that is the way it is, but it doesn't... God, talk about the sports thing. You know, if you go to any type of game now, it's there's always some parent that's almost always that's there's some jerk parent there that's,
oh my
that's
God,
taking it way too far.
Yeah, and it happens all the time.
Yeah, and well, there's a difference that there's so many parents at the game. That's, I think, different when. You know, when I grew up, and even into a lot of times into high school, if we went to like an away meet for like wrestling, as an example, there was never a parent that went to an away meet. If one came for any of us out of all the kids on the squad, it was extremely rare. Now everybody has to travel in packs with, you know, to take, they're going to every single game, every single match. And it's all the way from high, you know, from grade school. Well, I remember playing baseball in grade school, and we had summer league teams and stuff that we played on. We would ride our bikes there ourselves, carry a bat over your shoulder. The only person that was there was maybe a college kid to, you know, was the coach and watched you play, but there weren't any parents around, which was good, I thought. I mean, I didn't want a bunch of parents watching. I was trying to learn what I was doing, not, you know, get a ball in my face. I would rather not have a bunch of people watching that. But now we put a lot of, I know, we get in these situations where there's a lot of that going on, but... I sometimes I probably handle it better than others, and I'm trying to, I'm seriously trying to be better at it and have better coping skills about it. And sometimes I think I do that okay, and sometimes I'm just the worst.
When I was growing up, parents did go to the games. I remember parents going to the games, and my parents were at the games, and they were pretty reasonable. Both my grandfathers would come, and there were a couple of hothead parents that were way too involved and would have to be like thrown out or yelled at by the umpire or some like, you know, stupid shit like that. But about 6 months ago, I was at my cousin Mark's son, Evan, is a goalie and plays on hockey and goes to a lot of tournaments. And they were at one tournament this one weekend that I was there. And one kid on his team, like Cole, got in trouble because he laid a kid out flat. Like, just, and the kid was a Russian kid, I guess, or his mom was Russian, and the mom is yelling and cursing in Russian. I wasn't there for it, but apparently it was brutal.
Really? Right?
This kid Cole was in the wrong, no question. These are 11 to 13 year olds.
Right.
And so that Cole's team was a last minute invite. They filled in for another team that wasn't there, and the team that they were playing had two teams from the same town. So you're all from different towns, and it was ugly. You know, the other team's parents were losing their mind. The Russian mom is yelling in Russian and cursing. It's crazy. And apparently they did not suspend this kid Cole for the rest of the tournament. They gave him, I think they may have suspended him for the rest of the game, gave him like whatever, they put him in the penalty box for whatever, added some more time, and then that was that. So the kid ended up playing the next day, the next game. And they were playing the other team from that town. The parents from the other team were yelling, "Crush his skull." Okay. Now here's the thing. I couldn't believe this shit that was going on. Like, it's wrong on every level. Now, it turns out that Cole, so Evan, my cousin Mark's son, is in a group Instagram chat with his teammates, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, there are two things going on. You've got the parents, including Cole's mom, Cole, the aggressor, who was in the wrong, saying, like, "I talked to Cole, he totally understands it's wrong, he's learned his lesson, he's really sorry to the rest of the team, like, he knows he shouldn't have done it." Meanwhile, Evan is in a group text with the kids of what happened, and it'd be like, the kid said something like, "Yo, that other team's parents are bitches." It's like, I'm like, simultaneously these two conversations going on between the adults, you know, amongst themselves, and the kids amongst themselves. And it's just like, no lessons have been learned here. Like, the parents are going to continue to do what they do. The kids are going to continue to do it. Like, you need a lot more than like a couple of minutes in the penalty box. Like, it's fucking crazy. And I've been at the game where, like, I've seen moms up against the glass, banging on the glass, losing their fucking moms. Their minds, they don't even fucking understand the game. And apparently, one of the moms once broke the glass because her wedding ring, she smashed it and the glass cracked. It's just like, you guys need to calm the fuck down and get a fucking life, right? Like, it's like, who gives a fuck? It's a game, and the kids should have fun.
They should, that's lost, I think.
You know, and my cousin, he sits by himself, and he just watches intently. He understands the game. He likes the game. He had never played the game until he was an adult after his son started playing, and he coached 1 year. I don't even sit next to him because he's not this. I can't have a conversation with him. I can't make jokes. I can't be myself. He's just like, and then he'll talk. Because apparently his son is good. I don't know how good, because I just don't know at that age how you can tell. He's 13 now.
Okay. You know, in like, I'm trying to think how old they are. We have a semi-pro. I'm not sure what league designation it is, but we've got a semi-pro team in town here, and I know that the kids that are playing on that level of semi-pro stuff are high school kids, and I think a lot of them are like 16. So I would think if you were 12, 13, he'd have guys, you know, if he's really good, good enough, I guess, put it that way, you'd already have scouts looking at you. So he already does. Who knows?
Yeah, no, I don't know. I mean, it's you know, I have trouble watching. Like, I don't understand when I watch kids play. I watched. I went to the basketball game, the last basketball game of the middle school. Like, my daughter was Kylie was a cheerleader, and I had not been to any games this year, and I don't think I was. I think I may have gone to one game for like 5 minutes last year. I just don't care. Like, I'm like, it's a small gymnasium. You could, like, if you sit in the front row, the line, the out of bounds line, is right there where you're sitting. It's like tight. You know, I can't take good pictures. It's hard to get a good camera position. Like, what's the point? And I was watching. There were some of the girls on Kylie's team. The girls' basketball team were pretty good. Like, you could see, okay, wow, that the way that girl passes, the way she shoots, and her height and everything. Like, just there's a good possibility if she continues playing through high school, she's going to play college basketball. And you know what? It really doesn't amount to much other than she had a good time and she loved it, and maybe she becomes a high school coach. You know, I mean, for the most part, just the reality of what women's sports are, you know, right, professionally. Yeah. And then the boys' team, the other team, they had kids there that were like so big. And so, I mean, they looked like, you know, these are 12 and 13 year olds. They looked like they were like 16 year olds, you know. 17-year-olds, but again, nobody stood out that I said that kid's going to go and play Division I basketball. Not at that point, you know. So, I don't know.
And nobody was getting in fights with Russians. I think if I was worried about anything with that whole hockey thing you described, would be the fact that he laid out a Russian, and Russians will find a way somehow
to kill
to find you and fuck you up. They will go Boris motherfucking Yeltsin on your ass. And you will show up somewhere dead. You are dead to me. You are truly fucking dead. So if the kid goes missing, you know where he's gone. He's on a container ship to fucking yes. Moscow. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that would be my biggest worry.
Did you? I was listening to a news story the other day about Putin, and it said something about Putin. And George W. Bush, has he been in power for that long?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think so.
Hold on one
yeah.
second. Wait. 8-16. Wait. How long would that be? Since like 2000?
Well, if you run against him, yeah, you die. So I'm.
What's that?
Everybody that's taken a serious run, you know, when they've tried to have these quote unquote open elections, he's had like people that have run against him a couple times.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right. Yes.
Showed up dead. It's kind of like. Kind of like working for Hillary Clinton. some of these people just show up dead. I can't explain it. I'm looking at Vladimir Putin. Let's see. He held the position from 2000 till 2008, and then he was off for a while. And then now he's back again, and he's been president since 2012, according to that.
What I'm looking on Wikipedia as well.
Yeah.
All right, so there was a little break. So he has been there, but it hasn't been 18 consecutive years. It's been 14 years.
Yeah. So he's and I guess in Russia you can keep doing it for as long as you're in power, you can keep being the they call it president. What do they call him? I don't even know.
Yeah, it says president here.
President of the Russian Federation. Yeah, I just saw that.
That's what it says. Yeah, so Supreme Allied Commander, I think, is what he should be called. Maybe they're onto something in other places. Maybe it's just like, all right, fucking, you're either with us or against us. Fuck you. He's like,
well, guns.
Guns or no guns? No guns. Okay, and then you all die. because you don't have guns. You can't protect yourself.
I was thinking about that the other day. I wonder what they do have they got to have a lot of firearms. You know, the AK-47, wasn't that invented by a Russian? Kalashnikov or something like that. So, yeah, I would guess that they've got a lot of
the ballet dancer?
No.
He broke up a little bit. I thought I heard Baryshnikov.
The inventor of the AK-47. He just died a couple, I know, not too long ago. But he's a Russian. I'm almost sure he's from one of the Russian countries. Mikhail Kalashnikov was the guy that invented the AK-47.
Have you seen pictures of the guy?
I just Googled it. Yeah, just looking him up.
Yeah, I just did. He's fascinating. Yeah.
He's got a lot of ribbons.
I wouldn't fuck with that guy.
Got a lot of ribbons on his coat, though. So, yeah, I would, you know, and the reason I was wondering that was because, well, obviously there's been a lot of talk about gun control and all that stuff, and I was just curious what I was going back to World War II. The two countries that really, for the most part, if not for the United States, fighting the huge epic battle that went on during World War II at the level we did and were able to do, the world, you know, would be speaking German in part. But we also, the other big differentiating factor was Russia. And, you know, Russia, I think, God, they lost more people than we did. So they're warriors. That's just a warrior nation. They've been fucking with people forever. And I think, even though you don't hear people say it that much, I think the United States is really of almost the same mindset. I think we've got kind of a warrior at some level. People are trying to distance themselves from this. But I think there's kind of a warrior mentality in the United States. And some of that's crazy. But some of it, I think, is almost something that's come down genetically. It's kind of how we got here, years ago. And we're a young country, but I'm sure they've got maybe not as many guns. Well, maybe they do. I don't know. Who knows? There's probably not a count, for one thing. Nobody's telling you what they've got in Russia.
Right.
They've got AKs anyway, not what are they called here? The assault rifles?
ARs. Yeah. I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know my guns. I'm not interested in knowing my guns. I don't really want to be around guns. No, I'm not an AK. I don't even necessarily like the shooting up games.
You know? Could drive down the road and shoot up potholes.
Yeah.
Just to make yourself feel better. Yeah. So you didn't watch any of the Academy Awards at all tonight then?
No. The only thing I watched is someone Snapchat while they did commentary over it.
I don't know. I see people do that kind of stuff, and I think I can just turn on the TV and watch it, so it's just as easy.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't have the TV. I don't have a regular TV. I have, I just do streaming, and I don't have an antenna for my TV. I bought one once, but it didn't work. I bought it on Amazon, and it didn't work well. That was at my apartment complex, and it was a brick building. Nah, I returned it. I mean, I'm 50 miles outside of New York City, where most of the antennas are, and I could only get like one station, and I think it was a Spanish language station.
Okay, what's
I didn't get it well. I it didn't come in well.
What's the zip code? Hang on just a second here. I'm pulling up
07701.
Pulling up antennaweb.org, which is.
Yeah, I went to that back then.
Yeah, that's.
Should I give my exact address? No, right?
No, you just put in your zip code. I'm trying to see exactly where you do that. I should know this because this is something in the company that I work for. It's our website. Okay, click here to start.
Wait, this is your website?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and so, yeah, you don't put in your whole address. You can, but what's you said the zip code?
07701.
So we go here and hit submit, and it should pull us up a nice little map. Shows us what's going on.
It shows that it's pretty good, actually. It shows that it's like 50 stations, and maybe 30 of them are really good.
Yeah, if you put an antenna there, you should get, it might say 50, but according to this, I would guess you'd get at least 30.
If you know this or have an antenna that works, because I Googled, I looked at this website. I got one where you put the antenna on the window. I mean, I was in an apartment, so I couldn't do that. Now here in the pool house, I could probably get a pretty good deal. I could probably put it up a little bit higher. You know, the pool house goes
height has more to do with it than anything. You can get it up higher. Yeah. But there are some brands maybe that work better than others. There's a company called Mohu, M-O-H-U. That guy that started that company was a ex-military guy, and he apparently was involved in some of the antennas used with the military. Knew what he was, you know, when he started the company, he knew a lot about the technology, and did his own thing. I think that's a pretty good brand. But we've got actually on one of the TVs here at our house, we just put on a really, really cheap one. I don't know. I think something that was like, it seemed to me like it was less than $20, and it gets probably, I don't know, like 15, 20, I don't know exactly, channels. It gets the major network stuff if you want to watch anything on that with it. But it seems to work pretty well. Okay, anyway. I'm just checking this out right now. So, I was watching the Academy Awards for a while. It's weird that they start with, okay, you had asked me about this before we started. They start with the one big Oscar. So it's the best actor, best supporting actor. And so that just kind of gets things kicked off in a major way. And you're thinking, this is going to be cool to watch. It's going to be a great show. And then the next, like, 15 times that they give away an Oscar, it's for, like, best short foreign film. It's all these sound things. It's they're just stuff nobody really cares about, and I don't understand why they should put that. I don't know. To me, they've got those other awards that Jimmy Kimmel made a joke about it, that there was all these ceremonies that went on for these other awards. He said that were too boring to have included in this show, but then they still have all those ones that go on that seem to last forever. And make that show like 3 hours long or whatever. And I'm like, God, this is just taking forever. So I don't know. There was some cool music stuff on there. I saw Sufjan Stevens. Do you know who he is?
Who's this?
Sufjan Stevens is his name.
Sufjan Stevens. Yeah. So, okay. So was he playing guitar and singing?
Yes.
I know who he is. He's got a bunch of albums that are like names of cities or something. Yeah, I know him. That was the thing. I was watching Leslie Jones, the actress comedian from Saturday Night Live. I was watching. I'm friendly with her. I know her. We have a mutual friend. And I was watching her Snapchat, and she was saying, like, you have a microphone. Stop whispering. You just can talk. Because I guess he was really quiet.
He was really quiet. He had St. Vincent, the guitar chick.
I love her. She's great. She's really good. She's done some stuff with, what's his name, Talking Heads, David Byrne.
I can go, I hear some songs that I really like, and then I hear some stuff that she does, and I think, it's not my bag. But, it was interesting to see him singing, because he was on he might have been on like Garden State soundtrack or something a long time ago.
Oh yeah, probably.
And that's where I got hip to him, and I listened to a song called Chicago a lot for a while.
Yep.
And I haven't listened to him in ages, I gotta admit, and kind of forgot that he existed, and always popping up on the Oscars. They had this some of the technology they had I thought was really cool. They were, and it, the only way I really noticed it at first was Kobe Bryant, a basketball player, you know?
Yeah, he won an award for the best animated short.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And another guy was something about some basketball movie.
Dear Basketball, Kobe Bryant and Glenn Kane.
Yeah. So the guy that's in front of him that's getting the award, he's talking, you know, thank you, blah, 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 does this thank you thing. And then Kobe steps up to the microphone, and all of a sudden the microphone goes, bzzz, you know, it like comes up to his, right to his mouth level, and it kind of swivels a little bit. And I'm like, wow, that was cool. So then I started paying attention to it. And whoever was out there, if they were short, thing would move. Yeah, somebody pushing a button, I'm sure, but it seemed like it was almost automatic. You know, you just bring it up to their level, or maybe they knew ahead of time who was how tall or whatever, and they just had it programmed in somehow. But that was kind of, I thought, pretty cool technology. It seemed to really, the fumbling around that they normally do, it eliminated all that.
Huh. Yeah, I'm looking right now. I'm looking at some. So the awards are still going on right now at 11:23 p.m. They haven't done Best Picture. They haven't done Best Actor or Best Actress. So I'm looking at the awards here, and I've not seen all of these movies. Sam Rockwell, winner for Three Billboards. Now, you saw that movie. I love Sam Rockwell. I think he's fantastic.
Yeah, he's great in the movie, and I really like the movie, so I was happy to see that.
I saw him in a stage play. So the guy who directed Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, Irish guy, I forgot his name already, but he directed, he wrote a play called A Behanding in Spokane. Spokane, Washington, and it was Christopher Walken, Sam Rockwell, and two other actors, an actor and an actress, younger. Fantastic. Sam Rockwell was great in that. Allison Janney, she won Best Supporting Actress for I, Tonya, the one about Tonya Harding, I, Tonya. She's great, too. I worked on a movie, The Ice Storm. She was in that. She was really good. She's like 6'1". She's not short. She's giant. Call Me By Your Name, which I haven't seen. James Ivory. Is that the same James Ivory of like Merchant Ivory? Like that guy?
I don't know. I'm not real great usually at knowing directors and stuff like that, who they are.
Yeah, that's the gay movie there, Colin. Just letting you know. It's a couple of gay fellas, but it's a beautiful love story. That's what I've heard. I did that in a character because I love the gays. in real life, I love the gays, but my character is just like, he's skeptical. He doesn't, you know, it's all right. I have respect. Just call me John M. Craig.
Long Island guy. Well, it talks that way when he hears the word gay.
Best Director, Guillermo del Toro, whom I love. He's fantastic. Love that guy. He's great. Shape of Water. Really good. Great. He actually won a few awards. And he won a Best Original Music Score. The music score was really good. I didn't see the other movies. There was another award that they won, which Production Design. Production Design was fabulous on that movie. And Best Original Screenplay, Get Out, Jordan Peele of Key and Peele.
Really?
So happy for that guy. I love that guy. Those guys are brilliant. They're so good. But it's just a big. Oh, and Best Visual Effects, Blade Runner, and Best Director of Photography, Roger Deakins. And Roger Deakins is fantastic. He's got a helmet haircut, but he's the cinematographer for the Coen Brothers.
Okay.
For a lot of their films, he's great. So yeah, it's.
See, I'm surprised you're not watching because that you didn't watch. I know we had this thing scheduled, but
I've never cared about the Academy Awards. Like, I've just never really. It's like, who gives a fuck? Like, it's great. Like, but it's not that good a show. Like, for the most part. I mean, I like Jimmy Kimmel. I mean, I was wrong about that guy. I did not think his show was going to last. I was way wrong about that.
He's done a pretty good job. The part I watched tonight, I thought of course, he's got a bunch of people writing for him, but. I thought the way they went and did the Harvey Weinstein thing pretty much immediately launched.
Oh, I didn't see that. Did they really addressed it?
Yeah, they addressed it right away and in a good way. He also, the parts that I watched, there was slightly political undertones and overtones to things. But for the most part, I thought they kind of tried to kind of stay away from a lot of that, which I think is a good approach. And there's one Latino guy that was, I think he was involved with, I don't know which award it was, but I think he was involved with Coco. And he tried to make a joke about the wall, it was with Coco, because he said something about from the going from the living to the dead, and said something about this is a place where they put no walls or something like that. And it just complete
bomb.
Silence.
Just
fucking bombed.
Crickets.
And he had this look on his face like, oh, fuck, that didn't work. But you could see kind of by his expression, the way he led into that joke, that where it was like he telegraphed it. You could see it was coming. And there was not a clap, not a laugh, not a nothing. So at least not that you could tell. And he had a panicked look. But I thought for the most part he was doing really well. He seemed really comfortable and, it was rolling along pretty good. And I was kind of surprised because I haven't watched Kimmel much. I don't really watch that much TV in that time slot, I guess. So it's easy for me, I guess, not to know what he's up to. But the writing and the way they approached it was actually really pretty solid.
You know what's interesting about Jimmy Kimmel? is that he and Adam Carolla were pretty good friends. They had the Man Show on Comedy Central. I think they may have done some radio together.
I thought Rogan was in that too, wasn't he? Wasn't he involved in the Man Show?
I don't think so. I don't really know, but it's fascinating to me. Carolla and Kimmel are so different. Kimmel is just seems like a really genuine, sweet, likable guy. You know what I mean? Carolla does not seem like any of those things. Like,
you know what I mean? Like,
I don't know. Kimmel's he's very emotional. Like, he wears his heart on his sleeve. He's just like, he comes out there. Like, I don't know if you saw when he was talking about healthcare and his kids. Like, he's cried a lot for a grown man with a TV show. You know?
Yeah, and they're politically, those two are quite different. Carolla's pretty, I don't know if he calls himself a libertarian or probably does, because he's not, he wouldn't fall into the category of, you know, your bleeding progressive leftist at all, not even close to that.
I was a lefty liberal, I was an idealist in college. Now I'm dead inside. But I sometimes, I, you know.
It's your tires. It's your tires.
It's the tires. I just want to make money and drive people around.
Don't
and
let get them tires rule your life.
I just want to get to play this. I just wanted to get this woman to work, and then my tires blew. But I think libertarians, are maybe kind of assholes. Although I sometimes think I'm a libertarian. Okay, maybe I am a libertarian.
I actually took that. There's a big long test. There's a couple of them actually. I can't remember what they're called, but there's these tests that you can take that are
send them all to me.
They're like 50 questions. I think the one actually has 100 questions.
And, oh my God! And no thanks.
I know. That's when I started the one. I was like, "Are you kidding me? This is like 100 questions," but it's very detailed. And I found out when I took this thing, the one I think was the longer one with 100 questions. It came back and said I was, and it's set up on this grid. And on the top, you'd have very liberal at the top. And on the bottom, it's libertarian conservative, I guess is how it goes. And I came out on the left side, but libertarian. And I was like, how can that be? It didn't make any sense, really. But then I started thinking about the stuff kind of that I really think I lean towards a lot of things that, with immigration and a lot of things that definitely aren't Republican. The libertarian side, though, says, keep government out of it completely. And I'm kind of along those lines with the libertarian thing. I think that things with gay marriage, for example, I don't think that marriage, the marriage part of it, if two people want to be husband-husband, wife-wife, I have no problem with that whatsoever. Zero.
What if it's a Mexican and a white person?
Perfect. I don't care.
Two dudes. One is Mexican. One is like full-on European. I'm only kidding.
Right. No, I think what we need to do, and I don't care if it's, two conservative Catholics, even the contract that they get should not be called a marriage contract. It should be a all these things are civil unions. If you want to have a marriage, go to a church and have that happen. But as far as the legal contract between you and this other person, so that they don't take your shit, or they do take your shit when you get divorced, or they're squabbling about kids and all that stuff, it's got nothing to do, in my mind, with the marriage part of it that happens at the church. That's a fucking civil contract. And the other stuff, work out however you can or need to with your denomination or preacher, priest, shaman, blah blah blah. I don't give a shit. That's between you and whatever you think God might be. But I've got a lot of things that are in me that are sort of libertarian. But one of the guys that I work with is real politically minded. He's like, oh geez, you're left leaning libertarian. That's makes you a unicorn. Those people don't exist. So I don't know. I try to stay, as even-minded as I can about thing. I don't want to get into a situation where, because this group believes this, I should believe this.
I don't like that at all.
And with a lot of issues, I tend to see, it's not like an either or thing. It tends to be a little more, a lot of times, a lot more nuanced. And, you know, there's a lot of gray areas. And there's a lot of things also that we don't, that we should be more, use reason, I guess, just simple reason to make up our minds what's actually going to work or not work. And a lot of times reason just goes out the door and just doesn't make any sense with some of the things that they pursue from a political standpoint, as far as, there's a bunch of issues where that could be brought into play. So I don't know. Yeah, those two are completely different. Absolutely. I was just looking at the Man Show list of who was on the Man Show. Adam Carolla, Jimmy Kimmel, Joe Rogan, Doug Stanhope. I didn't realize Doug Stanhope was on
that. Oh, I remember that he was on that show. I didn't watch it a lot, but Rogan was on that show?
Yeah, so Carolla and Jimmy Kimmel would have been the first 4 years.
Oh, and then Rogan and then Stanhope.
Rogan, Stanhope were there, and there was another guy, Bill Foster, and another guy, Aaron Hamill. I'm not sure who those are, but yeah, Rogan and Stanhope were together, apparently, by the looks of it. It looks like they may have crossed paths slightly with Carolla and Kimmel, but not for long anyway. It looks like Rogan and Stanhope were the replacements, the way it looks.
Yeah, it looks like this show started, Rogan and Stanhope just did like 2 years.
Yeah, and I know that Rogan has described it as just a nightmare. He thought it was, He said it was a nightmare working on that show. He said the biggest thing that happened when he started was, like immediately after he and Stanhope took over, is the nipple thing, the Janet Jackson thing happened. And all of a sudden the networks just went like, no, you can't do anything. You know, you can't say anything. They were really cracking down on any comedy, you know, so it was like, it made their life really difficult. He and Stanhope both obviously are blue comedians. I used to call them blue comedians, but yeah.
I just, while Googling the Man Show, I came across one, a story in the Atlantic, or an op-ed piece in the Atlantic. It's in the title, it's called Forgiving Jimmy Kimmel. It's a thoroughly modern irony. The host who will set the tone for the #MeToo Oscars got his start on a show that gleefully ogled women. They used to have women in tight t-shirts jumping on a trampoline. They call that something. This is written by Megan Garber. That's what the show will be, a joyous celebration of chauvinism. That was Jimmy Kimmel in 1999 announcing the guiding ethic of the new Comedy Central series. He and Adam Carolla debuted that year, The Man Show. Anyway, you know, what was it? Oh, since I just came across that, I don't know if you remember, did you and I talk about this on the show where I said the thing about... ADHD,
yeah.
About Cameron and ADHD. Did I talk about a little? And how I had come across, there was like one of my sister's like hippie friends that lives in the woods was saying it wasn't a thing. She was like also an educator, and she's saying it doesn't exist.
Okay? Right.
So I recently came across an article that it didn't exist, and it was in whatever the website was. I wish I could remember. It cited some psychologist who was listed in some as like the top 22nd top psychologist of all time, right? And ahead of like Jung, Carl Jung, and Pavlov.
Really?
Yeah, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. Whatever. I didn't read the guy's study. I read a little bit of her article, and I noticed that she. The author of this article, by Elizabeth, no last name, by Elizabeth. That's it.
No name.
And then I went to the site and I looked a little more. Every article that she's written, just Elizabeth. And you know, you can scroll over and see other stories. Like the next story over was like, you know, rating people's, you know, like ability in bed based on their astrological sign. So it's like, I'm sorry, like, okay, it's not that I believe that ADHD is a thing or isn't a thing. I'm going to probably say in the middle. It's probably I overdiagnosed.
and we're possibly too quick to prescribe a drug for it.
Well,
right? That's my gut that tells me, that's my gut about it.
Yeah.
You know,
mine is just thinking exactly what you said. And I think that the reason we very often give pills is because we don't want to tell a kid or require a kid, even let a kid be active the way that they need to be. I saw some article, I was just trying to find it, but it was basically saying that we're not letting boys be boys. You know, they used to, you know, boys are boys and, you know, that sort of thing. It meant that they were, you know, they liked to recess at school. Everybody was out running around crazy and they were, you know, raising hell. Getting back to that thing I was talking about, warriors, whatever. Little kids were boys, you know, off doing these crazy activities. The girls would be over playing jacks or jump rope or something like that. Boys are trying to tear each other's heads off. And we're, as a society, we're not letting them go to recess. We're not letting them get enough exercise. We're telling them to be like the girls. You know, you should be like the girls. And actually, physically, biologically, no, they shouldn't. And so, I think that goes into ADHD, and it also falls into the category of a lot of antidepressants that are handed out like candy. Could be the same kind of thing. If you went out for a walk, in a lot of cases, and you ate better, a lot of the shit that you're doing, the way you're feeling, would go away. But people don't want to do that because it's a lot easier just to take the fucking pill. So your article about the ADHD,
I'm looking at a lot. I haven't looked it up enough. I mean, my ex-wife is not big on the idea that it exists or that our son has it. I don't believe that he does have it. I don't know. I talked to a friend of mine about it, and their son, who's just a year older than Cameron, he's actually said he wanted to be tested for it. And essentially, and it may be a thing that some kids want to be tested for it to have an excuse and to get prescribed drugs because they can give the drugs to other friends, whatever.
I was just going to say, yeah, that's absolutely true. And there's also a phenomenon, I think, that goes with that where it becomes an identity thing where you can, they a lot of times refer to it as my, whatever you want to call it, and they'll say, and when you're talking to them, they don't say, I have ADHD or I have the compulsive rage disorder. All these, they've got a bunch of these different things that they're given to these kids now. They say, they just refer to it as my ADHD in a weird way that it becomes an identity for them. It's a part of, if they're going to write a paragraph, and if you can see this on Twitter, a lot of times you'll see, when somebody gives a description of themselves, in the description of whatever it is that they're, including about themselves, they throw in these maladies, these things that are, you know, these diagnoses that are wrong with them as part of the description of who they are. And I just think that's a weird way in my mind of looking at it, you know. But people do the same thing with politics. But a lot of that stuff almost becomes like a political thing almost in some way. So I don't know.
I'm just Googling this. How to silence ADHD naysayers. ADDitude. Attitude. Attitude Magazine. There's so many. For every argument you could find, you Google it, there's like a counter argument on the internet.
Right.
And you read it and you go, these both seem kind of viable. I don't know where to go here. It's like, just here, I wrote, is ADHD real? Or something like that. Is ADHD real? And then you see related searches, is ADHD real or a medical hoax? Proof that ADHD is real. Is ADD real or just an excuse? There's so many. Is ADHD an excuse for being lazy? ADHD, not real. Harvard. What? Yeah. You know, that's probably the thing, you know.
I think sometimes also kids especially are put in situations that are boring for them. And the reason they're fidgeting and not, you know, paying attention or doing whatever they want to do is because you've completely fucking bored them out of their skull in the school system a lot of times. And You know, for some kid to sit there and be, you know, in a social studies class and be paying total attention or doing what they're supposed to be doing. And
you, you know, should let, they should have rooms for young boys to jerk off in. They should, you know what I mean? Like we're doing it all wrong.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is our show. Let's let Mr. Big Voice take us out.
Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoyed Unbecoming of Age. Bonus content at unbecomingofage.com. Subscribe on iTunes or your favorite podcatcher. Find us on social media at Unbecoming of Age.
And sometimes when we touch...